Welcome to Kichara Center, Kichara House. I'm very glad to see all of you. Tonight we have a special event. So tonight I will not be giving an extensive or a detailed Dharma talk for the general public, but will be more towards vows and ordination. Having said that, it will still benefit the general public because you will leave tonight with more knowledge, some more understanding, some more sharing. So that'll be quite good. I'm going to do a song rapidly invoking the blessings of the saint and master and protector Lama Tsongkhapa that was written by His Holiness, the great 7th Dalai Lama Gyalwa Kyatso Gyaltso. And the reason for that is to bless us, the people, to open our minds, to remove obstacles for knowledge and understanding to come in. Then I will proceed on with our bi-monthly Tsok Puja. Then in the middle of Tsok, we will have a layman vow-taking ceremony to prepare one of our members to take ordination as a Sangha. And you guys all will be privileged to witness this for the first time here in Kichara House, which is very rare to happen anywhere in the city these days. And then after that, we will finish with the Tsok Puja. During the Tsok Puja, I would like all of you in the audience to pray, to meditate, to contemplate your way, your style, your faith, your religious denomination. You pray your way, I pray my way, but we pray together. So that'll be very nice. So whether you are a Buddhist or a half past six Buddhist like me, or you are a spiritualist, or you're atheist, or you're of other faith, it doesn't matter. Because what we're going to talk about, what we always talk about, is not in reference to always you have to be a Buddhist. It's more about being a spiritualist, a person who finds their spirit and finds who they are and their purpose in life and how to fulfill their purpose in life before it is too late. Okay? So during the Tsok ritual, during the Tsok ceremony, it is usually closed doors, but certain times I allow people to come in. As in the monasteries, it is closed doors for Tsok rituals and Tantric rituals. So during that time, as I said, you pray your way. For those of us who know Miktama, today would be most auspicious to recite Miktama. Okay? And after, while you're reciting Miktama, please think the person taking on the vows may hold their vows very well and may many more people in this region take vows and study the Dharma and follow the Dharma 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, so that the Dharma can increase. Okay? Then after we have finished the Tsok ritual, then we'll do a dedication, and then we can all go have supper. Those of us not on a diet. Those of us on a diet, like myself, we go have soup and visualize eating supper. So while you're having supper tonight, I will be with you in spirit. If I was a hungry ghost, I'll be near you to smell it, but I'm not. So I'll just be with you in spirit. So therefore, again, tonight's a very special occasion, and I did not make it an open talk. I just told friends they can invite friends. So we actually didn't send out SMSs and inform people and let everybody know. The simple reason is because we won't fit, so it'll be quite uncomfortable. So therefore, I will do an invocation to Lama Tsongkhapa to request blessings from the divine, from all that is good in the universe, to enter our mind streams. And then we will proceed directly to the Tsok. You can read with us. The Tsok liturgy, you can read with us. Then at the middle of the Tsok liturgy, then I will do an explanation about the vows, the procedure of the vows, the significance of the vows, the qualification of the vows, and little more details, so that all of you as lay people can understand. Because what you see is One day, the person has hair and clothes. The next day, they're bald and wearing something maroon. And all you're taught is when you see some monks and nuns, you make some offerings, you fold your hands, you show respect. Why? What's the basis? You don't understand. So I'll explain some of that to all of you tonight. It's not that you're going to become a monk and nun. It's that you can gain knowledge. I can share something of the rich Buddhist culture to add to your own rich knowledge and your own rich culture so that we can share. And that would be very, very nice tonight. So therefore, after I do an explanation, then we'll have the actual ceremony for taking the layman's vows. And that will be very quick. It'll be very glamorous. It'll be very unique. And it'll be a first time for all of you. And I will allow it to be filmed. Because usually rituals and all these kind of things, I don't allow it to be filmed. After that, then we're going to finish the talk. We're going to do a dedication. And the second highlight of the evening, besides that, the second highlight is supper. But that's on your own time. Okay? So during the ceremony, I request everybody humbly to be still, not to gossip, not to fidget around, run back and forth, unless you have an emergency. Otherwise, for a few hours, we can train our body and mind to be still. Okay? And trying to think very virtuous thoughts throughout. Most important for the members of Gacchara House, while you're reciting Mitzvah, while you're reciting Yitzhok, please generate the causes. Remember, I always mention cause resembles effect, effect resembles cause. So please pray very hard and create the causes that there will be more Sangha in Gacchara House, in this region, in this area. Real Sangha that study, real Sangha that hold their vows, real Sangha that becomes exemplary to the lay people to respect Dharma. Because between lay people and Buddha Dharma is the Sangha. So it's very, very important that the Sangha acts correctly. I know, look who's talking. But sometimes you have to settle with the bottom of the barrel, and here I am. Sometimes. The top of the barrel all in the monastery, but it's better to get the bottom of the barrel than no barrel. So that's how you have to think of it. So that's what we wish to do is increase the Sangha here. Whenever I institute something new, everybody in their mind always thinks, cannot. That won't happen to me. Far away. Impossible. Near impossible. And then when it starts happening and more happens, they think back and say, oh, what happened? It's happening. Just like the 12 departments of Gacchara, just like TKL that will manifest in the near future, all of that. We always think how, who. But it just takes a thought. And it takes concentration, and it takes focus and work. Hard work is defined by suffering. When we do it for Dharma, it's not hard work. It's pleasurable work. So when we work for Dharma, if we call it hard work, it's still because we're very attached. But it's pleasurable work when we're not attached. So Dharma work is hard work and difficult when we're very attached to ourselves and our self-absorbed mind. Then Dharma work, staying up late, thinking, running around, becomes very hard work. But you see, you never hear great people like the Dalai Lama or the abbots or the great Rinpoches ever say, oh, Dharma is hard work. They don't say that. Because practitioners who really have absorbed the Dharma in their mind never say that was difficult, never say that was hard, never say that was unpleasant, because they're not attached. So people who find doing Dharma work difficult or hard is because they're extremely attached. And because they're extremely attached, that is the main cause for them not to ascend to a higher form of thinking and attainments. So therefore, we should never label Dharma work as hard or difficult because it leaves a negative connotation. We cannot use ordinary layman's terms and adjectives to describe something extraordinary, such as Dharma work. So if we stay up late, you say, oh yeah, it's so difficult. I get tired. Oh, cannot. Oh, I got headache next day. You can't say that. Do you know why? You send a negative vibration and message to people, so they don't want to join. People who always complain it's difficult, they're the ones who can never bring Dharma people in. Why? Because the way they talk pushes people away because it makes them scared. Oh, it's hard. It's difficult. Got to stay up late. Cannot sleep. Oh, got to work double hard. Got to run around. Got to make friends. Got to talk. Got to join events. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. So if that person, if we always say that, then we never can bring anybody in. And anybody who comes in will be scared away by us because we use lay person's terms for something very holy. That's Dharma. Dharma work is not difficult. Dharma work is not hard. Dharma work is not suffering. Dharma work is not deceptive. Dharma work is not a strain. Because every single unpleasant, so-called projected unpleasant situation that we feel in the process of Dharma work is purifying our karma. So when it's purifying our karma, when the karma is coming out, of course we feel unpleasant sensations. We can physically feel unpleasant sensations, but mentally we should be very happy. Why? Great practitioners ask for other people's diseases to come to them. Great practitioners ask for other people's problems to come to them. Great practitioners pray for difficulties to come to them. Kuan Yin Avalokiteshvara always prays to be born in the deepest and darkest places so they can help beings. So therefore, great practitioners, which what we must become in order to make things grow, cannot label the difficulties we endure for Dharma as difficulties or as unpleasant. Why? Why? Because the unpleasant experiences we feel by doing Dharma work is not that Dharma is unpleasant. It's because we have been doing things contrary to Dharma. Because we have been doing things contrary to Dharma, when we do Dharma, it's very difficult. So we blame Dharma as it gave me pain or problems or difficult. I don't want to do Dharma anymore. I give up. But it's wrong view. Example in the secular world. If you haven't done exercise for 20 years and you start, is the exercise giving you pain or the 20 years of being lazy giving you pain? Not the exercise. Because there are people who get on and do exercise and they have no pain. It's very easy. They can run up the hill. They can do bicycling. They can do jogging, weights. No problem. They can swim. So when a person who hasn't done it and they've been eating and sleeping like me and not doing much, they start doing exercise, people like me suffer a lot. But it's not the exercise making me suffer. It is my 20 years of laziness. My 20 years of laying around, not doing anything. Those 20 years is making me suffer. So if I blame exercise, I make exercise negative. I make other people who might have heart problems to potentially do exercise to solve their health problems and heart problems shy away. So therefore, when we do Dharma work, it is not painful. It is not difficult. It is not negative. And we should never say we give up Dharma work or complain to other people, Aya, cannot this, Aya, cannot that, Aya, cannot this, Aya, cannot that. Why? It's not Dharma making you, forcing you and punishing you to go, Aya. It is your many years of selfishness, self-absorption, many years of anger, many years of blaming others, many years of not recognizing the real enemy that is not here, but inside. So Dharma work, if we complain, a few things happen. We send a message to us that it's painful, so we always think it's painful, and that's wrong view. Number two, it sends a message to other people that Dharma work is painful, or bad, or negative, or cramps your lifestyle, or cuts off your pleasure. Then other people go away. The third result is whatever projects we want to do, we don't have support. Then we end up doing double the work. Why? If we say it's pleasurable and we make our mind say it's pleasurable and Dharma work becomes pleasurable and we tell people it's pleasurable, our work actually becomes less. Why? By our example in speech, other people come to the Dharma and then there are more and more and more people. If you have to cook for 50 people and you're one cook and you say cooking is horrible, cooking burned my hand, it's smoky, I don't like it, it makes me sweat, I get back pains, don't ever be a cook, don't ever be a cook, and I chopped off my finger, don't be a cook. Then you'll be cooking for 50 people forever. Forever. So therefore, if you want your 12 departments to grow, if you want the Dharma to spread, if we want TKL to be a very beneficial institution, we have to change our thought, and from that change our speech. And the speech and thought must be, Dharma is not painful. Dharma work is not difficult. Dharma activities doesn't make us sick. Dharma planning and Dharma involvement doesn't damage us. And if we start realizing why, any difficulties we feel doing Dharma is the purification of our negative karma collected from many years of laziness and self-absorption. The karma being purified is the purification of many years of self-absorption. Me, 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 me. So therefore, if we turn it around and we realize that Dharma work is beneficial, it purifies, it makes our mind stronger and broader, it takes on responsibility for ourselves and others, then we will not complain about Dharma. When we don't complain about Dharma and we say good things about Dharma, then other people say, oh, really? And then they want to do some? And then more come and more come and more come. What happens? Actually, your work becomes less because there's so many people doing Dharma. And you encourage people to do good things. And the third thing is your projects will grow because more people come in. Hence, that's what I tell my students all the time. Don't complain to new people. Don't call up and grab them for coffee and complain. Dharma work is horrible. It's difficult. The hours are long. I can't change myself. I'm suffering. Don't say all those things because it's wrong view. It is wrong view. If you want our institution to grow big and benefit so many people, you need many people to help. If you need many people to help, if you tell them negative things, they won't come. If you tell them positive things, which is the truth, they will come. I never went to Ganden and I meet old monks and the abbot and the Rinpoches tell me, oh, don't come Ganden. Pujas all night, no sleep. No ladies. No meat. Cannot be sneaky. Cannot talk about sex. Don't come Ganden. Cannot wear nice clothes, no perfume. Cannot, no more hair. 3,000 places look like army camp. No hair. I never met abbot or high lama or monk say, don't come, you suffer in Ganden, you know. So if we go Ganden, the old monks and the old abbots all fold our hands and say, congratulations. You have come home. You have come to a good place. You will not suffer anymore. Say, this is our monastery, what? Kichara House is our monastery. So every time people come into Kichara House, we tell them, oh, get ready for Rinpoche's training. You see, people who say that, get ready for Rinpoche's training, is they're trying to cover their laziness. That if they fail, you don't blame them. That's what it is. It's not Rinpoche's training. There are people who train under Rinpoche. They never run away. They never have an argument with Rinpoche. Rinpoche never does anything to them. Nothing. And there are people who are trained under Rinpoche. They get slapped all day long. Why? Rinpoche's a psycho, or that person, or those people need this. It could be both. But I tend to think not the psycho one. So you think about it. Every time someone comes to Kichara House, get ready. You're going to get it. No sleep. No personal life. You're going to forget who your husband is. Your kids won't recognize you anymore. Get ready. You can't say that. You know what? We can say that maybe 5-6 years ago. We can't say that now because we want TKL to come up. Use your brain. So if you're still in the habit of saying, Aya, so difficult. Aya, cannot. Aya, the training cannot handle. Aya, I run away la. Aya, I give up la. Aya. And you call these new people, you call your Dharma friends, they look at you. The smart ones go, Aya. The dumb ones go, yeah, thanks for letting me know, bye. Think. How we talk to people reflect ourselves. How we talk to people reflect our practice, reflect how sincere we are. The minute someone in the Dharma complain about Dharma work, Dharma activity, complain about their teacher, complain about Dharma brothers and sisters, the minute they complain, they create the causes for TKL not to come up. Immediately. Do you know why? The people who complain the most are the ones who cannot bring anybody into the Dharma. You check the logic. You check. So if I go Ganden, all the old monks and abbots complain. They say to me, lucky you're young, you know, because I went 20 years ago. Lucky you're young, let me warn you, no more fun. It's the end. Go have fun, come back when you're 80. No, they all say to me, oh, very good. I get the blessings of the old monks when I go. They're very happy. They rejoice. They say, you know what they say? One more good person is coming out of samsara. We pray and rejoice for your long life and practice. They touch me on the head and bless me, the old monks. It made me cry. It made me cry. I've never heard of an old monk or a monk in the monastery tell me, cannot take this anymore. Cannot take the meditation, cannot take the study, I'm getting out of here. Got one or two clowns that say that. They get out of here and they go and they wash dishes in New York. Yes, some monks leave, they go to America, they end up washing dishes in New York. That's not suffering, it's happiness, of course. You can ask my sister Malam, he knows. He wasn't washing dishes, he was selling DVDs. Selling DVDs is not a suffering. Washing dishes is not a suffering. It's pure pleasure. It's happy. And it has a future and it takes us out of samsara. Rawa? No. Doing Dharma. Now, my friends, liaisons, HODs, committees, volunteers, students, and supporters, all of you, listen to what I'm telling you tonight. Someone is taking vows tonight. You all should take a mental vow tonight. You know what's the mental vow? The vow is stop complaining. Cannot. Check the people who complain, how many people they can help to bring to Dharma. Check the people who don't complain and how they bring people to the Dharma. You use that logic. It's not criticism logic. Because people here are educated here. So I can't scare you and say, oh, if you complain, Buddha gonna punish you. Setra going to come and slap you. And after that, you go hell, you know. Since you guys here, Malaysians are so educated and very smart and exposed, I can't use those farmer, third world, 18th century tactics on you. It won't work. Maybe on Mama Jenny it might work, but the rest of you, no. So I'm telling you the truth. That's why I take the time to explain to you by logic. By example. Why do I give you examples? So it's easy to go into your mind. The truth. Complaining about Dharma work. Of course our body gets tired. Of course we get sick. Of course sometimes we need to rest. This one, of course. This is, whatever you do, your body gets tired. Haven't you seen housewife go shopping all day, they come home, they shop till they drop. Then they come home, they don't complain. I hate shopping. I make my feet hurt, my back hurt, my arm hurt. I broke my nail. I hate shopping. They say, oh, I'm so tired, let me rest tomorrow, we go again. Same thing, what? It's just your perception. It's your perception. How about some of these funny men that run around chasing beautiful girls? They run here, run there, run here, run there, run there. Never get tired one. Can go every night one. Get, don't get, never mind. Don't get tomorrow got hope. Get tomorrow got encouragement. Never get tired. Never complain. I hate chasing girl one. I hate it. It's so boring. Ayo. You never hear that. How about people who gamble? I hate gambling. I suffer. My hand become numb. People these days SMS and do typing, their hands become numb. How about playing the cards? Mahjong. Never get numb one. Never. Every day play mahjong, lose 100,000, never good. After mahjong, their fingers like Mozart. No problem. Because that's our mind. Why do I tell you like that? Give you example. Not to criticize you. Not to put you down. Not to say you're bad. No. It is to give you knowledge and example. That's what I'm trying to say. To say, oh, I'm so holy. Look, I wear yellow. I sit on high throne. I'm from Ganden. I'm so holy. I'm so good. And you're not. No. That's the truth. But no, I'm just kidding. No, not like that. No. I'm just like you. It's just I took my commitments earlier. No, it's not like that at all.
I'm not criticizing you. I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm not trying to give hints. Because when I say things like that, I see some people in the audience looking at their neighbors going, yeah, they're thinking, I wonder if it went in. And the neighbor's thinking, I wonder if it went in. And some people don't look because they think, uh-oh, it's going in. Yes, when you talk about something slightly sensitive, always look at the audience's eyes. Always. So, you think about it. My friends, my students, my family, my co-Dharma brothers and sisters, we are on the threshold this year of coming to something very big, and bigger, and bigger, and bigger. We're on that threshold, my friends. And you know, it didn't come overnight. We suffered a lot, and we worked hard for years, and we really, really focused. We spent a lot of money. We gave a lot of things. We have really worked very hard. A lot of people who joined our center this year or last year, they just think, wow, they didn't see the trials and tribulations and the difficulties and all that we went through for 15 years to make everything so beautiful. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows. Nobody saw Tsen Rinpoche walking up and down Federal Highway because he didn't have a car or couldn't get a taxi or there's no students around to drive him because everybody's too busy. I walk up and down Federal Highway a lot. Nobody saw those things. So what's my point? Am I saying poor me? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have a beautiful center and 12 beautiful departments. It's because we worked hard. And we have learned how to do things. And we have made many mistakes. And we didn't have an ego problem. We just accepted our mistakes and said, you know what, let's learn and move on. So therefore, all this that you see now, the 12 wonderful departments that are benefiting so many people now, is from years, decades of hard work and trials and tribulations. And many times, I had my centers closed 3 times in the past. 3 times. I didn't know how to run it. The people with me didn't know how to run it. It was more my fault. People were not getting along, and it closed. And, you know, I said, that's it. I'm not going to have any more centers. I'm going to go be a model. So I went and became a model. When I became a model, I missed the Dharma. So I said, okay, let's try one more time with this Dharma center. I asked my gurus. They said, now it's time. And I said, this time it's not going to close. This time it's going to grow. And people are going to come. Because I learned. I made mistakes. And my ego is not that big that I can't face my mistakes. And that's why it's going to continue to grow through hard work and knowledge and being good people. So therefore, we're on the threshold. Threshold is at the eve or nearby something big to happen. And do you know how everyone can help? From speech to cut off all complaints about Dharma, Dharma work. Cut off. Cut off any type of speech, because if you continue this, it has karma. It definitely has karma, unless the Buddha is wrong. We must stop all speech about complaints, difficulties, I give up, I can't do it, I don't want the training. All we must stop. Why? Why? Because it's not the training or the Dharma that makes your life difficult. It is your habituation that's making it difficult for you. Just like persons who never went to exercise. It's not the exercise that makes them suffer. It is the many years of being a couch potato, being lazy. Think about that. Dharma never makes people suffer. Why? The Buddha always says he is not here to make anyone suffer. And none of his teachings can make anyone suffer. None of his practices can make anyone suffer. None of it. So when we go for operations, the doctor doesn't give us pain. It is our organs going off because we didn't take care or some disease or congenital that is creating the pain. It's not the doctor. It's not the surgery. It is us. So we have to think that way in a logical way. So again, another example is when we go to the monastery, do you think the holy monks will discourage us from practicing Dharma and complain about the difficulties they had running away from Tibet, settling down in a jungle, cutting trees, rebuilding, and take 40 to 50 years to rebuild something that was destroyed, 600-year institution destroyed. They had to rebuild in another place, another environment. Many of you have visited Ganden with me. They never complained. Not one old monk has ever said, we suffered so much. None. Really, none. So the monastery here is Kichara House. So when people come into Kichara House, they're new, they don't know anything. We want to look good. We want to look like we're a savior. We want to look so fabulous. So we say, we suffered. We tell them. To new people who don't understand things, they're going to really take your word as is. Suffering. So we can't do that anymore. Then we say, okay, we tell our old Dharma students complain. We tell our old Dharma students complain. They will listen. They'll say, yeah, yeah, but it helps you to rehabituate. That's not good. And it creates negative karma. So hence, from now on, we cannot complain about Dharma work. We cannot complain about Dharma, Dharma projects. We cannot complain about Dharma hours and Dharma training. We cannot complain. And people who run away, mentally run away, or physically run away from the Dharma, is not the teacher or the Dharma that made it difficult for them. It is they themselves being confronted with themselves. That's all. That is all. So therefore, from today, we must all take a mental vow. A mental vow. Stop making it difficult for the Dharma to grow inside of you and around you. Stop complaining. Stop blaming others. Realize it is yourself. It is you. We are on the threshold. So this teaching is specifically for inner TKL manifestation. Stop the negative talk about Dharma making your life difficult. Stop. Because it's not true. If you say that's true, then you are pointing back to the Buddha and Tsongkhapa and saying, they planned this to make you suffer. They did not. They did not. So please, people who work with me very closely, liaisons and committee members and head HODs and students, all of you, please remember what I have said tonight. Don't just take it as a teaching to go out another ear. And what I'm explaining here will benefit all Dharma centers around the world. The difficulties and the problems you have that arises when you do Dharma practice doesn't come from Dharma. It comes from yourself. And that is the truth. Okay, so think about that very carefully. Let me repeat. We are on the threshold of something very big. The center expanding and growing. We're on the threshold. So you help me to get that done. I help you to get that done. We work together. You help me by holding your vows, commitments, and samaya, by saying things that encourage Dharma growth, that encourage Dharma activity, that encourage Dharma projects. Dharma doesn't make you suffer. You make yourself suffer. That must go in very deeply, everyone. I need all my friends and students to contribute to the growth of inner and outer TKL. Some people, I will ask them to do inner Dharma work. Some I'll ask to do outer Dharma work. Some both to create the causes for inner and outer TKL to happen. Again, let me repeat, the causes resemble the result. So we have to create the causes. Therefore, I will be putting in the near future, and a lot of people have stated it already, I will be putting some people in the near future, not in physical work, in the organization, but in Dharma inner work. So I would like the Vajugini Tantra, the Tsongkhapa Tantra, and the practice and the meditation and the retreats and the yogas associated with it to grow and flourish in this region and to have qualified practitioners. So in order for that to happen, I will ask people to go into retreat and to, in their retreat, absorb the obstacles for this growth to themselves to be dissolved by the power of recitation of the mantra. And I will request these people to make offerings to the divine Yidam Vajugini in order that by making these offerings, many, many necessities can come forth. When we make offerings to these deities of these tormas, of these offerings, it will create that whatever necessity we want will come forth. And When we do the actual sadhana and recitation, and the words are recited, and the sound fills and pervades the air, then it will create the causes for the Vajugini Tantra's sound to pervade everybody's ears and everybody's presence. And on top of that, when they actually do retreat, they will create the causes for other people to be familiar and say, yes, that retreat has been done by a normal Malaysian person. I can do it too. It will put that kind of impact. And on top of that, when they finish their retreat, we can't do it here, but they will sponsor a fire puja as a conclusion to be done in the monastery, a Vajrayani fire puja. The final Vajrayani fire puja is the seal, the blessings that has been accrued during retreat. So therefore, I will be asking some people, hey, go work in KSA. Go work in KSK. Go work in KMP. Please work in KO. Please work in KH. Please help doing this, doing that. Some people say, please do retreats. Why? If you do retreats, you create the inner causes or for something to grow. So therefore, I will give instructions to my liaisons on how to stay in the retreat, how to make the offerings, where to do it, how to conclude, and to fit the timing of our busy lifestyle. All right? So therefore, after Mama Jenny has been ordained, she will be in retreat, and she will be requested to absorb the negativities and the obstacles that will come to the growth of the tantras and the practice in her meditations, so that by the power of the mantra, when you ask it to come to you, it will be dissolved by the power of the mantra, happily. So I'll be asking her to do extensive retreats, which she has done in the past. And that will be good. And Mama Jenny will be involved in the pujas. She'll come for the activities, as usual, but during her free time, instead of running and having supper with every neighbor, she will be at home doing retreat. That will be very beautiful. That's a wonderful example for many people. And that will be one of the first people to do official retreats for TKL, for KH. Now I will be doing this blessed prayer. It's very short. All of you just listen carefully, and then we'll start the talk and we'll commence. A song rapidly invoking blessings by Lama Gyawa Kyasang Gyatso, the 7th Dalai Lama. It is an ode or praise and a prayer to Lama Tsongkhapa to invoke the blessings of Lama Tsongkhapa into his mind stream. Because Lama Tsongkhapa was the first Dalai Lama's root guru also. Hence, all the line of Dalai Lamas are within Tsongkhapa's tradition and consider Tsongkhapa their direct and indirect lineage gurus. Above an actuality pristine awareness, manifest as a radiant Buddha mandala, the pure land of Tushita, the joyous abode, blessed by the Buddhas of past, present, and future.